Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion of episode 149. This is part two, self-emphasis or others' emphasis. Today is Sunday, May 30th, 2010, Memorial Weekend in the USA. Have a good one. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why? Because we have no boundaries. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall, supporting our advertisers who support us. Now, to join our online community, go to Pastor Paul's homepage. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog, leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony about Pastor Paul's podcast. You can email me, Janine at pastorpaul.org. And at the blog, you're going to find show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast that have scripture links. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for two parts to Pastor Paul's weekly episode. This month, the month of May, here is the lineup. Your influence, what's useless, what's common, examination, self-emphasis, or others' emphasis. There you have it, the lineup for May. Be sure to join us. Have a beautiful month. God bless you.
I remember a little schoolboy that was asked to stay after school to help the teacher. Me. This particular teacher, I was 11 years old. I was madly in love with this teacher. I still remember her face. She was pregnant. And I had asked her, how old are you? She was about 24, 25 years old. And I thought, man, I got to catch up. But I remember her saying, will you stay after school and help me? I remember my heart going, yes, I'll stay after school and help you. Now, don't make this dirty because it's a beautiful thing. And because she asked me, I said, yes, I did it joyfully because I was asked to help. Because of the added duty, because of the dignity of the privilege, that gave me a feeling of joy. Because it would have been repulsive if it would have been presented as a duty. I want you to stay after tonight, and I want you to knock them erasers together, and I want you to clean the blackboard, okay? But then she put it another way. I couldn't get them erasers clean enough. Man, it looked like there was a storm coming in when I went outside, papping these erasers together. And I'd run back in with those two, and I'd get another two. And later I found out that I looked like, my face, like I had jumped in a flour barrel. But anyway, I come back in and I showed her these erasers. And she said, well, I've never seen erasers this clean in all my life. How in the world did you ever do this? And then she started to tell me about her family, and she started to tell me about her little kids, and she started, and I got things in the right perspective. But there was a great love that was born right there. I think, you know, it's an honor to do things. And you know why I appreciated her? It was an invitation to stay and to help. Would you like to stay and help me clean the blackboards and clean the erasers and wipe the trays and clean up around the in here a little bit? Huh? Here's an invitation. Start working on that immediately, not sooner, with your artwork. And invite people in. And say, we're sending you an invitation to come on down and serve Jesus. And put the emphasis on Jesus and not the work. Because people don't want to hear that. Because their emphasis is on laying down. You've got to shift the emphasis that people have. I started to think of in the Army when they asked for volunteers for dangerous missions. I mean, there's so many volunteers you wouldn't believe. They feel a glow of pride. They feel that the thrill of privilege and the honor and the responsibility should be given to them. And say, let me have that hardship. Let me have that trust. Let me have that danger. And they get inspired with an attitude of, I can do it. I feel myself doing that. I feel the Lord call me and I say, Lord, let me do it. Here I am, Lord, send me. And I think attitudes like these would transform all living. The spirit of privilege is the direct, to the point, contagious concentration on the brighter side of things. Concentrate on the brighter side of things. And I started thinking about this and I said, you know, you got all these cafes and all these different places, they're fine eateries all around the cities, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. If you get enough volunteers to go on out and pick up all the leftover foods, now you have to hit them just right because, you know, in between 10 o'clock and 11:15 or 11:30, they're cleaning up their kitchens. They want to get out of there. And provide the containers for them and be their Johnny on the spot and have like two people, so if one doesn't make it, the other one can make it, and you send out all these hundreds of people all over the Minneapolis and St. Paul area and pick up all this food, there'd be nobody hungry because I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes out in the garbage. Roast beefs and roast pork, and they got ribs by the bucketfuls, and they got soups, and they got salads, and they got all this stuff, and they just dump it. Why? Because we don't know it's a privilege to go pick it up. A privilege. What do we got for me tonight? Well, we got pork chops here. We got breaded pork chops. And the guy says, we got breaded pork chops. Oh, I wonder if I should give this to... And he takes on the spirit of privilege. Well, can we use... here, take it. See, there's a brand new spirit, and there's a brand new spirit coming on, and it's a spirit of privilege. Austin, Minnesota called up here, and they said, can you help us with groceries? I said, we most assuredly can. Send your trucks up. Send your vans up. Walk, crawl, come a horseback. It doesn't matter. God will provide the food.
See, it's out there and it's all over. See, but we got to take on an attitude of it's a privilege to do the thing. And don't worry about, I've seen Pastor Paul coming out of a bar. Well, there's always somebody going to say something. My God, I mean, I can't even move sideways or this way or that way or back or forward or anything. You understand? I don't care. I see him coming out of a pool hall. Oh, you didn't look close enough. I was carrying a bunch of turkeys and some mashed potatoes on top of my head going on out of that place. Same. Don't worry about your reputation. It's nothing anyway. You can lose it in a minute. Isn't that encouraging? Now you don't have to stick up for your reputation. Now you don't have to maintain. You know, you ever try to maintain a reputation? Now you preach like me, and you lose it every other day on the radio. Somebody gets mad and calls up and said, Sister Sue called up and told you all about me, where I live and everything else. You knew too much. Didn't that happen? Didn't that happen with relatives of yours? And they just said, well, that guy knew everything about me. You must have told him everything. I didn't even know she was here. But see, the Spirit of the Lord does, doesn't he? But wouldn't attitudes like these transform all living? The spirit of this contagious spirit of privilege? See, it's bringing out our very best to bear on whatever comes in order to make it work, to make the bad good and the good better. And I believe right now, if we'd have to work together and live in the city, right here, living in this city, and when we long to be out there in the country, there's a lot of times I think, well, now, wouldn't it be easy to be out there in that country out there, a noble mountain out there. Wasn't that easy out there? Hi, Brother So-and-so, and they'd smile back. Hi, Brother So-and-so, Pastor Paul, how you doing, guy? Going to give the word out tonight, huh? Yeah. Oh, it's great out here in Noble Mountain. Oh, wow. So easy with all the money coming in, all the things you want to do. Well, we're going to take a collection up now. We're going to buy all new tables, a stove. We're going to go up there. We're going to buy a camp. You take up a collection, nothing to it. Well, now you come on down here and you take up a collection. Well, I get nervous when I hear quarters hit the bottom of that bucket when I need thousands of dollars down here. Think about that next time. Wrap your quarters up, will you? It makes me nervous. Wrap them up in tissue paper. Cotton balls. Ooh, see, we can shift the emphasis by thinking of what a great privilege it is to live in a huge city. Now, who was it that asked me the other day, said, do you mean, we were talking about it. We got back into the city, and you said, do you mean you like this? You remember that? I said, I do. I know I'm strange, but I get out in the country, but now I'm accustomed to the city. I'm a city dweller. And we come back in here, and you said, look at the smog over there. Smog. I get out in the country and I take a deep breath of that fresh air and it about knocks me out. My lungs are not used to that kind of stuff. Huh? And you mean you like this? Now look at this. Look at the traffic. And no, I'm nothing against you, but you're here up front. Maybe you'll start sitting further back. I don't know. Maybe you'll... I don't know. But I looked and I thought, well, I guess I'm kind of strange. But I guess the emphasis isn't on the smog for me. See, because you've got a different thing going. And the emphasis isn't on the grubbiness of this whole thing. The emphasis is on, this is a challenge and a possibility for a great work of God to go on. I mean, this is where it's at. Down here in this grubby old Minneapolis with all of its smog and sin. Do you think this is heaven down here? A person asked me the other day, says, what do you think's happening to the world? I said, it's going to hell. What'd you expect? Did you think this was heaven down here? My God, this ain't heaven. The only heaven you're going to have is what's inside you, what you allow to be in you. That's not heaven down here. Oh, what is it? Is it hell? No, I says it's a preview of coming attractions. And if you get attracted to it, that's what you're going to get. Better put your emphasis on the Lord. Say amen, somebody.
But I started to look at this huge city with all of its problems and all of its forces. There's forces here. Spiritual forces. How many know right now there are spiritual fields and spiritual forces? I had a tape, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's called Beware the Snare of the Fowler was the message, but I don't know exactly what the title was. But anyway, it was really the truth. Say amen, somebody. With all of its enterprises and all of its stresses, I thought, you know what? I wouldn't want to be nowhere else but right down here in the nitty-gritty, in the grubby-grubby, and I want to be right here in Minneapolis. Now I want to be right over there, if it be the Lord's will, right over there in St. Paul, right in the ghetto. You want to know why? Because it says the poor will hear the gospel. The rest of them aren't going to hear it. But the poor will hear the gospel. I'm just giving you what Jesus said. Don't you want to go someplace where people are hearing you? Well, yeah, but you're sure they hear. They hear by your being there. They hear something. They hear by your dedication and by your loyalty, by your always abounding in the faith. It isn't that they have to be right here sitting in these seats. There's a whole lot of hearing you do right through your eyes. And there's a whole lot of seeing that you hear right through ears. When I talked about that paint on the radio, everybody envisioned me painting up this pulpit. Everybody envisioned me dipping that paintbrush in there because they seen it with their ears. It isn't always what you see with the physical eye. I'm talking about the eye of the Spirit. It's the eye of the beholder and what you put the emphasis on. That's what it is. Are you hearing this today? Is anybody hearing this message? In Psalm 37 and 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Don't worry about somebody that's prospering in their own way. In Proverbs 14 and 4 says, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. From what's inside of you. You're going to be satisfied from what you know to be true. Oh, it's nothing to me in that men judge me, says in the Bible. And I say that myself. I pick up on that scripture all the time. It's nothing. It's how the Lord judges me. And Proverbs 38 says, give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. It doesn't matter. I'll just eat what's ever convenient. A person asked me one time, she said, well, listen, is there anything you don't like? I says, no, if it's convenient and it's in the icebox, I'll eat it. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that is a precious scripture to my heart. Be content with such things as ye have. What it's saying is because you got everything already. You got Jesus, listen to it. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, the emphasis here, we shift our emphasis over to Jesus. And it changes their attitudes and our attitudes towards life and its characters. And I thought to myself, if it be my lot to live in the country when our heart is in the city, then we reverse it. Then we must find the same finer spirit of privilege in the calm and the rest and the pot and in this quiet time. If I was told to go out, you have to go out to the country. I'd have to start to appreciate in the sunrise. I'd have to start to appreciate and getting used to that fresh air and that beauty and that quiet and that woods and them flowing waters. And I believe in this spirit of privilege. A great temptation is an opportunity to show what we are made of. Be an opportunity, wouldn't it? And the temptation to run from the country back to the city where I want to be. Or from the city out to the country where I want to be. And if I hold my ground, having done all stand, and I stay right there and I calmly say, oh Lord, Lord, even though that I've been led into this temptation, I will not fall. Because your grace is always abounding. Your grace is going to keep me under that hour. Well, I started to think the sorrow of a trial. It's a chance to show courage. Oh, preachers, listen to me now. When you go through a sorrow and you go through a trial, maybe even borderline slander, it's an opportunity for you to show courage. Don't get faint-hearted, don't get knock-kneed, and don't start shaking up there at the pulpit area. I'll tell you one thing, You just go on and Lord, it'll be an opportunity for you to show courage. Or even a lonesome time. And there's so many lonesome people out there. Well, they call by the dozens. They're lonesome. You can be living with your whole family all around you and be lonesome. You know that? You know what it is? It's an opportunity to seek the Lord. It's an opportunity to get down on your hands and knees and say, oh my God, I am so lonesome. You know what? Until you seek the Lord, you can have all kinds of people and things and everything else. It's just Jesus calling you to fellowship. It's just Jesus saying, hey, just come on over here. I'm the one that can fill you with the water that you'll never thirst again for that kind of fellowship. I'm the one that can take care of you. I'm the one that's going to feed you, spiritually speaking, and give you that water without end. I'm that one that's going to cause waters to come up out of your innermost being like rivers of living water, like a tree planted by the well. I'm the one that can do all those things. I'm the one that can take you into the land of Canaan. You aren't afraid of all them giants. I'm the one that will give you that slingshot so you can walk up to that no deodorant, great big old boring a giant and take a couple of stones and knock him down flat and chop off his head and jump on the devil's head. I'm the one that can do all those things. I'm the one that can dip you in the rivers like Naaman and seven times you come up whole. I'm the one that can do all those things. I'm the one that can put you on Mount Carmel. I'm the one that can take those 450 prophets of Baal and have them sliding and balling and rolling down the hill. I'm the one that can do all those things. I'm the one that can get you out of the lion's den. I'm the one that can take you through the fiery trials. I'm the one that can take you through the river. I'm the one that can take you over the Red Sea. I'm the one that can take you on top of the mountain. I'm the one that can say, hey, stand up there and lift up that rod. I'm the one that can make you a Moses. I'm the one that can make you Christ. Like, don't you start to worry about all the people. Don't you worry about your reputation, because you'll be a man of no reputation. I'll give you a cross to bear. I'll give you something to go out for. I'll give you a challenge. I'll give you a privilege. I'll say, live your life for Jesus Christ and don't worry about free time and having time off. And I'll say, put your emphasis on the right things. I'll make your heart right. And the reason you're lonesome is because you're not on track. God, help me to keep on track. I don't want to be lonesome anymore. I think if we have a little for ourselves, we can make it seem like so much by the joy we put into having it. I got this little 80 Buick out here. It's a little Buick, and someone stole that thing. I missed it, and I thought, God, what am I missing this little 80 Buick for? Because it was my nice little car. And I went down, and they rented me. They gave me a big car to drive, and I'm driving this great big car down there, because of the insurance paid for it and everything. And I thought, you know what? I still miss my little car. It's not the same. And I got my little car back, and I'm sitting in this little car, and I thought, oh, praise the Lord, I got my little car home. It don't take a whole lot to be happy. See, if we can do a little for others, we can make it great. If you can only give a brother a quarter, you can make it. Here's my last quarter. You can have it. You can make it seem so beautiful, so wonderful, by the finer, I think, the finer spirit of privilege that we put into doing it. And I think there are some who have a very, very bad habit of putting a very loud emphasis on the difficulties of any situation so that the possibilities cannot be heard above a whisper, and they machine gun off at the mouth at any given thing. It can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done. And over and over and over you hear it. And they start to rapid fire in suggestions, all minuses. They have a suggestion of a way to accomplish it. Well, I think you can do it this way or that way. And I believe they are very experts in destructive criticisms, but shy on constructive thinking. Very shy on a constructive thinking. God, help me not to be like that. They may even admit that there is a need for action, but seem so anxious to prove it won't work that they kill their very own initiative. How are we going to do it? What are we going to do? We're on our way to somewhere, the two of us and you. What are we going to do? Well, you're going to do the next thing. You're going to take that bus, get behind the wheel, turn the key on, and drive it over there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. While we're over there, a man comes up and says, hey, to whom much is given, much is expected, and I have a warehouse, I'm going to give you. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that taking nothing and making something out of it? Jesus has taken a minus minus 1,000, me, and done something with it. I'm not going to multiply for the Lord, but something. Say amen, somebody. But you see, they bury their own resourcefulness. They bury themselves in all their negative attitudes. Sure, there's difficulties, and sure, there's objections, and yes, we should recognize them. But I don't think we have to idolize them and make them greater than they really are. I think we can take the emphasis on a possibility. It'll stimulate some kind of a thought on a way out of the thing. And I think what we cannot bridge, we can make a tunnel and we can dig our way through. And what we cannot walk around, we can jump over. Are you hearing this? Or we can come in some other way. All the time now, I'm pressed down here with finances and different things like that. I'm always pressed by that. But I've learned one thing. If it doesn't happen one way, it'll happen another. Because it's been my fault a lot of times to misplace the emphasis when we can measure men. You know what I'm saying? I know we misplace the emphasis. We get the emphasis on how we're going to do it instead of the one that's going to do it. Jesus is the answer. I remember saying that at a radio show was some politicians, and I said, well, okay, I'm going to go now, but I got the answer for everybody in here. Jesus Christ is the answer. Wait a minute! I says, I'm going to argue with you. Jesus is the answer. Good day. I have to go to church and preach gospel. So long! He is. They emphasize the wrong thing. Oh, this isn't an easy problem. That's true. It isn't an easy problem feeding the poor. It isn't an easy problem getting jobs when there are no jobs. Huh? It's not easy. It's not. There's not an easy answer, but there's one that can answer them all, and that's Jesus Christ. They've misplaced the emphasis on people's weaknesses. A lot of times, you know, we think people have not got the answer. It might be a little kid that'll have the answer. I say, what do you think we should do now? And if Jesus is going to talk, he's going to talk through anybody. We talk. Hey, if myself here, there's Billy Graham he speaks through, and there's a jackass. I'm in between someplace. He speaks through animals, and he speaks to great evangelists like Billy, and he speaks, but in between, there's people like me. I know somewhere down the line, if I'm really in trouble, I'll listen to a little kid. I'll say, what do you think we should do out here? That little kid will have the answer. Say amen, somebody. We get the emphasis on somebody, or we make a phone call. So-and-so, you're an expert on this. Yeah. Look, well, that might work, but we're emphasizing the person. Instead of going to Jesus, we go to people. That's like people always come and they want to work. Have you got a word for me, brother? Pray it fast. Read your Bible. Get right with God. Goodbye. Amen. But they want a word of prophecy. Yes, I see you. And I see this, and I see this about you, and that about you. Beware. And then somebody over on the other side of the room has got another, and they try to outdo each other in prophecy. P.S. And they put their emphasis on the wrong things. Say amen, somebody. See, we look at the emphasis, the mortgage, without considering the net value of the property, of character, of the whole real estate, the whole value. And we live in our misplaced emphasis and let one act our friend does a lot of times that hurts our pride, something that hurts our pride, something that hurts our confidence, wipe out years of loyalty, years of devotion, sort of like an H-bomb dropped right down here in Minneapolis. We may put the emphasis on tomorrow and miss today. We'll be too tired for tomorrow. We say tomorrow will be different. Tomorrow we'll do it first thing. Tomorrow we'll do a wondrous thing. Tomorrow we'll wait. It brings me to a song I'm closing. There'll be blue birds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see.
There'll be children's laughter and love ever after. Tomorrow, just you wait and see. Oh my, I thought there's a lot of people wait and see people. Tomorrow we are going to enjoy it as we never dreamed before. And we make our resolutions and our resolutions for tomorrow as though that we were writing out checks and saying, well, we'll make them good tomorrow. Know how wondrous this world of ours will be tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. Why not start making it better right now? What a scary word that is. It's now faith, it says in the Bible. Now faith is. It's not tomorrow's faith. Now faith is. See, faith is always, so you got to say now faith. It's shifting the emphasis to today that changes the entire view of your life. You say, well, tomorrow I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to go home and pray. Do it right now. No, I don't mean just live for today because tomorrow you may die. But I mean realize that tomorrow is a child of today. And what you start today will continue on tomorrow. It's putting the emphasis justly. Let me close it. Putting the emphasis justly on today. It gives the aim and gives the courage, gives the concentration, gives the command, gives the continuity. It makes us the master of our own vision instead of slaves to our dreams. You ever seen a person a slave to a dream? Usually a sluggard laying in bed. Because when we measure our happiness in what we have, we are sadly misplacing the emphasis. It's not what you have, it's what you do with what you have and what you go for on the next day. Be thankful, all of you in here, you listening on the radio, for what you have. Concentrate on that. You have your health today? Concentrate on that. You have a nice friend today? Concentrate on that. That's the right emphasis. In all things it says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concentrating then on the now. Concentrating on what we have gives strength in the hours of darkness that are going to come on planet Earth like never before. Let's start to put the emphasis on trusteeship, on responsibilities, on love, on forgiving, on saving souls, on helping others, on helping the weaker ones, on sharing, on the five loaves and the two fishes, on the one cruse of oil and a handful of meal so God can multiply what we have. Let's watch out for that, what word we emphasize, because that one word can either make or can either break you. And so here we have where we place the emphasis, where we determine, and what we determine will inspire and dominate our very lives, our very living. Not tomorrow, right now. The rest with you alone here today. The choice is yours. The choice is ours. The responsibility is ours, and the privilege, mark that down, privilege. Hear that word real good and clear. The privilege is ours. Look at things as a privilege and change the attitude and watch your emphasis. Can I read a piece of scripture here before I close? The Lord put it on my heart. It's Psalm 16 and 6. It's beautiful. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. And I thought, of all the bitter herbs I've eaten in my lifetime, saved and unsaved. They go down easy when you know Jesus. It doesn't matter where the lines of our lives are. It doesn't matter where, like lots, where the lines are laid out in your life. It doesn't matter. They are pleasant because Jesus is with us. That's what makes life pleasant. The Father's love is like the honey at the end of every rod. It turns the stones into bread and it turns the water into wine. It turns the valley of afflictions and troubles. It's a sort of a door of hope down there. Makes the biggest evils seem as if they never were. There were none, or better yet, none at all, non-existent. Because I believe it makes our deserts like the gardens of the Lord. We are on the cross for Christ, I'll tell you one thing, as if we were in paradise with Christ. The emphasis is Christ and Christ's life. Put your emphasis on that. I thought to myself, who would quit such a beautiful duty that's given to us for the sake of suffering, that's such a relief under it. You get relief under the suffering because first the suffering and the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Mark it down. Where God drops the lines of your life and he puts you in those lines,
Don't deviate and jump outside the lines. Don't cut and run and do some kind of stupid thing and cut and run because you think your lines are outside of that. If God shows you your lines are someplace else, well, then don't stay within those lines. Bounce out. Bounce out. You out there on the radio, if God's shown you your lines are down here on the north side doing this privileged work down here, don't hesitate any longer. I don't care if it's because of whatever that's in your life. Get on down here. But God put it on your heart. There's so many people listening on the radio, I don't believe it. Never come down. Never send a nickel. Know what I mean? Shame on you. Double shame. Sham. Shame. Just come on down. Set your lines. God's put you in these lines. Be down. There's a whole lot of people out there should be down here. Do you know that? Yeah, they should be right down here doing this work of the Lord. So you could be a light and a beacon and everybody else could see what they're doing. And there are people that down here don't belong here. I know that, but there's a whole lot of people that do belong in. There's people that don't belong in these lines. I mean, jump the lines. Jump over. Mark it down. When God drops the lines in our lives' work, they are pleasant. It's a place, to me, and I'm all done, it's a place of deliverance right down here. I am being delivered of myself and shifting the emphasis from self onto others. Others' emphasis. And getting, emphasizing the needs of people out there. And I'm right now, I just feel such a dedication. And my track shoes are all ready to go. My God, I want to go. I don't know what's inside of me. I feel like I'm 20 years old. And I want to dig my feet in. And when the next race starts, I want to be ready. My feet are itching to get on that track. Call it what you want to. Call it competition. Judge the preacher. And make him of no reputation. It makes no never mind to me. My God, I got what I have to do. And I'll tell you something else. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love to do what I'm doing. I'm talking to the radio. We're all talking to them today. Because, see, we're down here. We're down here. And I'll tell you something else. When the smoke clears after this great big thing that's coming on planet Earth like never before, you will be surprised who's left. Say amen, somebody. I said that. I've said that thing, I bet you, a dozen times, and the smoke clears, and you're surprised. What? What? And those that you thought were going to not be there are there. How many are hearing this? Don't worry about your reputation. Start thinking about the privilege it is to serve Jesus Christ. That's where the peace is, and that's where the joy is, and that's where the liberty is. Isn't it? It is, isn't it? You hearing that on the radio, listening on the tape out there? Hope you do. But, you know, it's the largest listened to radio broadcast in the Twin City areas, and we don't get very few people down here. Why is that? Now, if you all sent in $1.19, we'd be out of debt. And I'm not lifting up myself here in no way, shape, or form. All I'm saying is that we need help. And it's not a place for a lot of doubters. Well, you know what I mean? Isn't there a song, if there's a doubter in the crowd? And there's always people that doubt. And a lot of times things happen because of our own miserable jealousies. Aren't we miserable sometimes when we're outside of God? I know I am. I just sometimes take two garbage can covers and bang my head. Are you hearing this? Are you? Does that sound kind of strange to you? Well, I mean, I feel like I didn't do that. I felt like doing that. All right, is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Go with your tears.